The House Resolution 4644 was put forth in October of 2019 as a response to the confusion that has existed within the U.S. policy following the attack on the capital, Tripoli. And so it came initially specifically to clarify U.S. policy, to affirm that the stability of Libya and the fact that there is no military solution in Libya was paramount to the U.S. policy, that the U.S. policy still supports the United Nations actions in Libya and stands with the return to stability and the political route to resolve the Libyan conflict. Of course, in doing so, not only did they want to clarify the U.S. policy, but also they wanted to address the external interference. Unfortunately, the proxy war nature of Libya has become a very serious problem, as well as take on active steps so that this is not just a bill or a law that just formulates policy, but rather has within it tools by which it can implement policy. So there were sections that spoke about sanctions against violators of any agreements or any peace process, as well as providing some humanitarian relief and some support of economic and democratic institutions. So what has happened since October is that the calculus on the Libyan conflict has also changed as well. And now we see the intervention of other powers, as well as the change in balance in terms of the sides that are in the conflict and the ability of the government of national accord to have the upper hand, basically in freeing the western part of Libya and being on the offensive and regaining control of other parts of Libya. The two factors that have affected the changes in the Stabilization Act the most have been, one, the increased role of Russians and their visible role and their dangerous role in increasing their military presence at the southern basin of the Mediterranean, as well as taking hold of some of the oil institutions and so on and so forth. And the other one was the fact that, again, the balance between the sides, where in the initial bill, they were talking about two equal sides, and they were really using language that wanted to equate between a side that's legitimate and supported by the UN and a side that is on the offensive that has rejected the UN mandates. So the changes have been made of recent. There was a markup session recently. There's always talk about how to upgrade this. So we see a whole section devoted now to Russian sanctions, and we see a language that's much more aggressive against the offender, namely Haftar and his forces. We see a better alignment of the U.S. policy with the legitimate government, the government of national accord, and the aligned forces with the U.N. solution. So there has been some upgrades, some modifications. However, the main premise of the law remains the case. And of course, there's also a Senate version, Senate Bill 2934, on the Senate side.
Libyan-American Alliance launched a recent effort to convince U.S. Congress to modify the Libyan Stabilization Act in support of democracy and civilian rule in Libya. What prompted the alliance to do so, and what was the outcome?
Well, I think the most significant part that affected us was the fact that we saw the need not only to change the language of, if equivalency, false equivalency between the two sides, but also to the fact that there was clearly a project that was calling for the military dictatorship in Libya, which is the Haftar one, and the U.S. policy had to be aligned with its principles and its, long-held values and principles of standing with democracy in that region. And so we worked hard to ensure that this false equivalency is not the real spirit of the bill, that in fact we do have a legitimate government, we do have a UN process that is aligned and that is a standard by which we can measure sides that we want to support. And then more particularly, we wanted to see more meat really in the bill, that it's not just, again, just a statement of policy, but rather it's full of tools by which it can hold the parties responsible, people who violate the arms embargo, the countries that are intervening in Libya that are wreaking havoc in that region will be responsible because of the continuous laws that the U.S. government has also produced, whether against the participation of any engagement with the Russian forces in what's called the Katsa law, or whether it's now recently engaging the Syrian regime in the Caesar law. And lastly, of course, we have a U.S. citizen here who is committing war crimes in Libya, and we need stronger language that specifically speaks to his crimes and specifically holds him responsible within the United States legal system. And I think the bill does bring up aspects that will address this issue in more clarity.